Hello and welcome to podcast number 5. We're with my good friend Kathy Birch and fellow salon owner. So I'm going to let you introduce yourself, Kath. Tell us a little bit about the salon.
Okay, so my name is Kathy. The salon is called CBHB & Co and we are based in Hucklecote. I've had the salon for 20 years, started up in Brockworth and then we moved here about 5 years ago.
So what inspired you to become a hairdresser?
I don't actually know, if I'm honest with you. I used to have a job as a Saturday girl in a salon when I was little, so I suppose it was kind of always something I enjoyed, but it was never the career plan. So I just think it was just something I kind of fell into. I was good at it. I enjoyed being around people and I am very creative, so it was kind of the natural
thing. Like a natural progression.
Yeah, and I think I'd sort of tried other career aspects that didn't quite go where they were meant to, so yeah. Here I am owning a salon.
Wow. And for a very long time as
well. For a very long time.
Just to let you know, we probably will get a bit sweary, won't we?
Because potentially. We're foul mouths.
Yeah, we are. Good old potty mouths.
Yes, we are.
When we get together, we can't stop. We've already started this podcast a couple of times, haven't we? So, if swearing offends you, you might want to just
switch off now.
Yeah, exactly. So let's get into it because I find you absolutely fascinating. You are a big inspiration for me. You've helped me enormous amounts with my business, and for no gain of your own whatsoever. That's just the genuine insight you want to give, and I love that about you. So I wanted to share. Yeah, we'll probably do that as well. I wanted to share you because I think you've got so much to give, and so much. You're so knowledgeable in your field, even if you don't give yourself, which I know you don't, the credit that you should. So can you just give us a bit of an insight into how the salon came about for you in the first place?
Okay, so I was working in a salon in town. I went to go on to maternity leave. I was sort of doing hair on the side in my kitchen. My dad came down one day and said, oh, there's a shop at the end of the road, empty. Why don't you see if you can get it as a salon? Well, I made a couple of phone calls and the man was like, yep, you can have the shop. So it kind of just literally stemmed from there. It was never a, you know, business plan set up. It wasn't a goal. It was just, it kind of all fell about, which I kind of think in the law of universe, it was kind of always meant for me.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of something that just sort of opened up and just felt right from day one. I always felt a little bit that I shouldn't be a salon owner, as I, you know, because a lot of people had salons. I think salons back then, it was very much high street salons. It's not like it is now that there was a lot more small businesses. It was always big salons. And if you weren't a big salon on the high street, you were sort of a little granny back street salon.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, it took a lot to be recognised as an actual business. So I wouldn't say it was something that I kind of really set out with this ambition of being where I am today. I think this has all just happened because it's kind of the journey that I've gone on. Yeah,
yeah, definitely. It's weird that you would say that as well, because that's so true, isn't it? Back in the day, when we started out in hairdressing, if you weren't working at the bigger salons, then you were a no one, weren't you?
Yeah, exactly.
There was this real sort of persona about where you sat in the hairdressing industry.
Yeah.
I don't think that, I think it's changed
massively,
because I think, you know, salons have evolved into so many different ways of working, and rightly so.
Yeah.
I think everybody has their place. Mm-hmm. But you probably were one of those that started the trend of that, especially in our local area.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe. And I think, you know, but you equally, because I think we both started ours at similar times.
Yeah.
And I think we weren't your average sort of salon owners, that we're not, you know, little blue rinse brigades. We wanted to be that trendy salon and offer that different sort of hairdressing that, you know, people can't always afford to go into town and pay stupid amounts for hair. You know, they want to stay local. And I think having the salon, it just, I was able to do that really. And I just think it was, I don't know, it just kind of, I don't really know how I got here, though, if I'm honest.
Yeah, no, none of us do we?
I don't.
But we did, so one way or another. What would you say were the biggest challenges when you first opened?
I think for me personally, it was, I had a lot of stigmas around me, I believe, personally. Those were my challenges of being taken seriously as a salon owner.
Yeah.
In my previous sort of jobs, I used to be a paid degree girl. I'm not going to be ashamed to admit it. So, you know, a lot of people knew me for that sort of thing. The relationship I was in at the time obviously was, you know, a well-known relationship, and I think he went to prison.
You were judged.
Yeah, and I do think, you know, I was judged a lot around that, because I think a lot of people thought my salon was funded through certain things that it wasn't. So I think it, for me, it was being taken seriously as a salon owner, because I think a lot of people was like, oh, you know, what's she doing?
Yeah.
So I think for me, it has been my biggest challenge was setting up and being taken seriously as, yes, I'm a salon owner, yes, I'm a business owner.
I think a city, small city like ours, where everybody seems to know each mm-hmm. other, I think it's one of those places where everybody seems to think that they know more about your yeah. life than you do,
yeah,
don't they?
100%, yeah.
And they'll spin the narrative to yeah. suit them. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely how things sort of panned out for you, wasn't
yeah, 100%,
it? And unfairly
yeah.
so.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I take ownership for all of those things, because, you know, that relationship was something I chose to be in. So it's not, I wasn't, you know, it was a situation I was in. And I feel that people do talk. And, you know, at times it wasn't very nice, but at the same time, I kind of put myself there. So, you know, it is.
It's hard because you were trying to build a business. Mm-hmm. You weren't sat on your backside doing NAFOR.
No.
You were out there.
Working my backside.
Working your backside off. And kids,
raising
you know,
kids,
and
yeah.
a complicated relationship that came with hassle. Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah. I think that probably would have been the hardest part of opening for you, wasn't it? And then gaining the traction.
Yeah. And I think, you know, from that was my sort of personal challenges. I think from the aspects of a business, it was starting from scratch. And I think naively, and I think a lot of people do this, people see a business, and I did. I worked in a salon. I was like, oh, God, look how much money goes in the till at the end of the week. I want a piece of that. I could do this. I could do that. Had no clue what actually went into running a business. And I say this with the clients I do for the mentoring. Like, you come into it as a hairdresser. You don't come into it as a business person, because that's not what we train to be. We train to be hairdressers. You learn the business stuff along the way. And that's where the naivety comes in, that I think you think from day one you're going to be like Richard Branson and, you know, swanning in and out and whatever. It's so not like that. I mean, it couldn't be. I mean, some days, even now, 20 years on, I probably have more of a dog's life than the trainees in here some days.
Yeah,
so, I feel the naivety probably around actually owning a business, what went into it. And then the personal stuff on top. So, yeah, I think there was a lot of challenges, to be honest.
So how do you think you started to overcome them?
I think it started to work. I just think, like, it started to be busy. It started to be a business. And I think as much as the relationship stuff was a negative, it was also a bit of a positive, because a lot of people did know me, wanted to come to town, probably to be nosy after the time. I was like the EastEnders most times.
I love it.
Honestly, I think that was why people came to the salon, to be fair. But then I think, you know, I did build the relationships. I did build lovely clients, and a lot of the clients I still do now, I've done for all that time. So I just think it started to work, and I just navigated my way through it. But also, I think for me, during those times, it was my crutch. It was kind of what kept me going. It was my focus, and I didn't really have any other choice but to make it work, because financially, that was all I had. So,
yeah. And it is hard starting out in anything new, in any business.
Yeah.
But I think when you open a salon, you're just not taking it seriously, are you?
No.
As if, you know, Dave down the road opened an engineering business. Mm-hmm. He'd be the dog's bollocks, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
But we're here just, another salon. Oh, we need an... Oh, do you know, this is a thing. I remember opening my salon. I opened it in the November. They announced a recession 2 weeks later.
I think I opened in the September, and I'm pretty sure you opened in the November.
There you go. And I remember having, it was when The Citizen was a thing.
Yeah.
And they came out, did a bit of an interview, said, oh, you know, young mum opens, I was young then. young mum opens salon in height of recession. And it was a bit of a chat like that. The comments, oh my God. I remember being so mortified.
Yeah, I know.
Thinking, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
It was, oh yeah, we need another one of those,
don't
we?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
She thinks she...
Yeah.
And you just think, if your man down the road opened up engineering or whatever, he would have had a pat on the back.
Of course he would have done. Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Yeah, no, it's so true. And I think hairdressing as an industry has forever been mocked, hasn't it? Like, when we were at school, it was always the kind of thicker girls that went on to be hairdressers because we weren't any good at doing anything else. I did a couple of careers fairs at one of the schools recently, and it was really interesting that when, you know, in the day, my table was swarmed with kids, men, the girls, the boys, everybody was like, oh yeah, you know, like even you had the boys plaiting the dolls' heads and everything. In the evening, they would brought their parents back to show. the people would come and you could see the parents almost like pulling them away from the table. No, we don't want to go and look over there. We don't need that one. And I'm like, the best crack is we probably make more money than a lot of people.
This is funny, actually, you know? Because I saw a quote the other day. So you're answering my next question, which was, how did you feel about the misconception about hairdressers? And to quote Mark Hayes, who's the Sassoon Senior International Creative Director, he said he's had one of the most incredible careers alongside some of the most intelligent, creative, artistic, successful people in the entire world. And he'd recently attended the British Hair Awards at a really famous hotel. I can't remember what it was. And he said, and there were more self-made millionaires in that room than any other event that had been held at that particular posh venue. And he said, so what's wrong with being a fucking hairdresser?
Yeah,
and
that's true.
Like, you know what? We graft our asses off.
Literally. It's such an underrated... Like, it is exhausting, physically, mentally, but then the most rewarding because, you know, we have the best clients. And like I said, you know, people I've done for 20 years, and those people have seen me through all those shitty times. They've gone through births of my kids, you know, when my kids come in here now, they're like, is that the same child I used to feed in the channel? I'm like, yeah, that's the one. And, you know, I think we go through births and deaths and relationship ends, and we're the first person. You know, I had a client come in the other day, first person she told that she was pregnant. The next week I get somebody in who's told me she's got cancer, and you know, sadly didn't even last another week past that. So I think we have so many experiences with people that in any other job you just don't get that. We don't get that contact and relationship building, and I wouldn't change it for the world. I mean, I think I probably would do the whole business aspect totally different, but in terms of a job and the job we do, absolutely not.
I think the thing with hairdressing is we aren't just the hairdresser. No. We're not just cutting someone's hair. No. We're not just colouring someone's hair. We are their therapist.
Yeah.
That's fact.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I'm qualified to answer the questions that they give me sometimes.
No, I was just saying, if I so probably give them the best. But,
but I'm rolling with it and they're rolling with me. Yeah. I'm like, you don't have to listen to anything I say. But if it were me, you know, and I think we listen well, we cheer people up. They come to us for not just, you don't necessarily, I don't think, you might disagree with me, have to be the best hairdresser.
No, I agree with
it's
that.
About how you make somebody feel in your presence.
Massively.
And that's actually a special skill in
it
itself.
Is, yeah.
So we aren't just that, but we're also, you know, as small business owners, you can relate, receptionists, accountants, we do the stock ordering, the cleaning, you know, there's nothing that we're not ticking boxes on that we're not doing. We are everything. And then you go home and you're
a mum and a wife
and a wife
and everything else.
Exactly.
You need.
It's a lot.
It is a lot. It is a lot. And I think this is kind of where, like you said, it's a really an industry where people just don't give it enough credit. And I think, you know, when kids are at school, they think it's a you know, a bit of a dead-end career. It's really not. I always say it's a bit of a golden ticket to life because you can take that anywhere you want.
Exactly. It's so mobile, isn't it? Literally mobile.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes when I get talking to clients about colour, and you know what it's like yourself, you'll have those clients that will box colour their own hair. The depth of knowledge that you need in order to apply colour correctly or correct colour correctly. It's huge.
Yeah, massively.
And it changes all the time.
It does. And when sometimes if we're talking, you know, I'm doing some training with one of the trainees and we're discussing colours and peroxides and this and that, and the clients are like, wow, like this is a lot. And I said, it's very scientific. It's not just like, oh, chuck a bit of bleach on and
hope for the best.
No, it literally is. You know, there's a lot of knowledge that goes into around it as well. So I think it's, you do need a lot of skills to be a hairdresser, to be honest. I always say the same. It's 50% skill in cutting hair and 50% personality, because you can cut the best haircut in the world, but if somebody sits in your chair and that, you know, you don't speak to them for the next hour, you're not going to build that relationship. And they forgive you if you're giving them a shit haircut, if they like your company. So
true. So true.
You know, they'll come back and be like, I don't know what you did to my hair last time, but you know,
God's
sake. I'm like, oh, it's all right.
I can level that up.
No problem. It's all right.
So how do you think the industry's changed, or has it? Do you think it's changed at all?
But not for the good. I think salons are dying, and I think that's a really sad thing to see. I think a lot of people are going self-employed, and that's great for them as individuals, but I also think they don't see the bigger picture of being self-employed on your own, that you don't get the support of a salon, you don't get that progressive training, you don't get to be around a team every day. And I think it's, you do need that progression to keep going. You don't get the support if you go off and have children or you're sick or whatever. So I think salons are dying off, which is sad, because then you're not getting the trainees coming through because people can't afford to pay the new hikes and stuff in wages. Salons can't afford to take it on because you're not having the staff come through the doors, or you do train them up and then they leave. So I do think the industry is changing a lot. I'm hoping it comes back full circle when people sort of see that actually being self-employed isn't always the way forward.
But there's this statistic, isn't there, that there will be no apprenticeship hairdressers by 2027. That's less than 2 years away. That's quite frightening.
Really scary.
Because everybody needs their haircut.
They do. I focus a lot on my trainees though now, because, and I do that because I realise that it's better to grow your own staff, because I think then that you can teach them from day one how you want them to be for your salon. And I think when you bring in stylists that are already established, you're kind of trying to change a lot of attitudes and a lot of behaviours and a lot of kind of mindsets, where I think if you do bring them in young and you train them, they, you know, everybody's doing the same thing, everybody's brought up with the same knowledge, they have the same work ethic, and we've kind of got a nice little team of people. So I've sort of been focusing a lot more on my younger staff recently, because I think then it gives you the tiers as well for like your charging. So that's one thing I personally think I would invest more into, bringing in trainees rather than taking on an experienced stylist.
Yeah, no, I think it's leading from the ground up, isn't it? And I agree completely. I think that is, you know, what salons are missing. And I think the problem being is that, and I've got nothing against people going to college, is that's absolutely fine. But
the same,
they go to college and then they'll leave college and think they can go out on their own, and there's so much more to learn. I mean, they're still teaching at college. This just gets me every time. Finger waving.
Oh, I know.
When were you ever asked to do a finger wave?
Literally, never.
It's bonkers that that's still happening.
It is.
Why aren't we teaching colour correction? Why aren't we teaching advanced colour placements and things like that? That you can't go anywhere to do unless you're going to L'Oreal or Sassoon or all of these places.
In your everyday sort of hairdressing, it's just not, there's not a place for it, is it? So, yeah, I do. I hope it doesn't, and I do hope things change for these young kids, because I do think, you know, we have some great girls come through here with, like, really good potential.
Yeah.
And it's just sad if that dies off, isn't it, I think?
Yeah. And I think it's conversations like these that have to be had to make these young girls realise, and their parents and both of them, that this is a really good job
really
to get
good
into.
Industry. It really is.
And it's a nice job too, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know we're saying about all the things that are really hard.
Yeah,
but
exactly. But that's, I think, the situation we've put ourselves in, having the business side of it. Like I said, if you take that out, the coming in, doing every day and doing your clients is just lovely, isn't it? Like having a chat. Because people say about work, and I'm like, to be fair, it's not even work. Because I come in, you have a coffee, I do your hair, we have a chat. It's great.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice. You leave out feeling really good.
And I think as you grow as a business, you find your people, don't you?
100%.
So those that have been with you all that time are friends to you now, aren't they? It's part of the family. So, you know, when they hurt, you hurt.
Massively,
you know? And like, say you go through the divorces, you go through the babies, the breakups, the deaths, the, you know, and you feel it with them, don't you?
Massively. So, I mean, there's more tears go on in this place, laughter and actual tears, because of people coming in and saying things. And it is like, we always say, I wish I had a camera 24/7, because it would be prime time TV.
Me and Gray always say it's like Steel Magnolias.
Yeah, honestly, it's hilarious.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, it is.
I know, it's great.
Yeah.
So, what do you think the biggest myths are then of being a salon owner?
I do think it's that people think you are loaded and you live this lavish life, and, you know, it's everything's, you just spawn around looking good and it's all easy, and that is the biggest, furthest thing from the truth, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it really is.
You know?
I completely, completely agree. So what trends do you see shaping the future of salons?
I mean, if things carry on the way they're going, they are going to die off, because salons just can't afford to cover the cost like they are. And we've had this discussion before with the VAT, and, you know, particularly like with apprenticeship wages and rising cost of your electric and stuff. If they don't start giving some kind of help towards small businesses, they're just going to die off, because we've had to do a price increase again recently. People expect it, but realistically, who can budget that into their, you know, if people are struggling already, where does then that fit into their budget? So I think if things don't change around the industry and the support that you get, and that isn't just from a salon, that's from any small business, you know, like plumbing businesses, anything that employs younger staff, and we're trying to struggle in a small business environment, if things don't change, I just don't know kind of what does happen to salons long term.
I think small business is very under-supported,
yeah,
isn't
massively,
it?
Yeah, massively,
we noticed that in COVID, yeah, when we were getting, you know, 60%, and then that was taxed, mm-hmm, and everybody that was employed was getting, you know, the 100% wages.
Yeah.
We got absolutely naffed. We got screwed right over, mm-hmm, didn't we?
Yeah.
And as an industry, I think Boris hated us.
Mm-hmm.
We were the last to come back. We were the riskiest. You know, it was us and the kids, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The kids were out partying.
Yeah.
And we were spreading. We were super, mm-hmm, spreaders.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was so unfair. I think, again, coming back to this VAT, let's talk about that, because, mm-hmm, VAT for us is huge, isn't it?
Massive, and it kills a small business like mine.
Mine too,
you know,
yeah.
20% VAT, it's just not fair, and I think it should be done incrementally. Like, when you hit that 86,000, it should be, okay, right, so until you get to 150, you pay this much VAT, and then this and this and this. We shouldn't be treated the same as a multi-million pound company, because we don't have anything to absorb that. And you then pass that on to a client. That's why I didn't put my prices up originally by the 20%, because I was like, how the hell am I supposed to charge my clients an extra 20%? You know, now, again, hindsight, I should have done, because, you know, it didn't help me, and I've had to do it in the end regardless. So it needs to be done, but I think that it shouldn't be like that. I do think there should be some kind of system that we get to do it, you know, incrementally, and just a little bit of a, maybe a bit of a recess for us.
Yeah, I agree. I think, there was a big march, wasn't there, at outside Downing Street, mm-hmm, about a month or so ago, and that's the first time I've ever seen hairdressers sort of fight back,
mm-hmm,
a little bit,
mm-hmm,
or our industry as a whole, because they really shouted for us, and it was,
mm-hmm,
great to watch, actually. And that was a lot to do with, you know, high street salons, the big salon, all the big salons. There aren't many of them left, are
no,
there?
Really,
and they're
not
all closing.
Mm-hmm.
What you're finding is more smaller businesses like mine and yours that are a little bit more niche,
mm-hmm,
probably less expenses.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I still think that we pay enormous amounts, but,
yeah,
you know, in comparison. And it's gone nowhere,
you know,
because we weren't listened to yet again.
No.
But I guess it's just a drum that just
You need to keep beating. And,
beating,
this is the thing.
Yeah.
And the thing is, what they don't understand is that we do employ, you know, I've got 5 staff here. You've got small businesses employ people. We're responsible. So if we don't employ them, they've got to go somewhere. So
yeah,
then they'll go on benefits, and then they become their problem somewhere else. So they've got to do something. And I do think, I don't know when and how, but again, that is small businesses across the board, not just salons, because it's not fair. We have four our... And this is kind of one of the things that pissed me off now, is that I'm kind of got to, like, being 47. In my mind, at this age, I was thinking, oh, I'll start to slow down and, you know, coming away from the salon. And I think I'm working harder now, and I'm way more stressed than I've ever been because of the pressures around me and running a business. And you kind of think, I either give in and think, oh, fuck it, I'll just walk away then and don't do it.
Mm.
But what's been the last 20 years about, when I've overcome way worse things? You know, I've nearly gone bankrupt, I've done like so many things, but I've come out the other side, and I think, am I going to let this be the thing that says enough is enough? But you kind of think, where does it stop, of where do we get a little bit of help? Where do they start to think, okay, small businesses do need some help with wages, or, you know, employing apprentices, or VAT cuts, or whatever. Like, I just think it's, you kind of get to this age and you think...
But the pressure mounts, doesn't
massively.
It? Yeah, like you said, you know, at this point we're hoping that we're doing less, but
yeah,
I think we're actually
honestly,
doing
yeah,
a lot more. Yeah,
really,
I completely
yeah,
agree. So how would you say, like, an average salon day looks like then for you? How does that... I mean,
oh,
it's a 7-day-a-week job.
Yeah, oh, 24/7. Yeah, it really is. I mean, I think the days I'm in the salon... it's clients, and I think the problem is that you're in the salon and everybody wants a piece of you somewhere. The phone's going, the staff need something, you know, you're trying to do your clients, and then on top of that, you're trying to do the admin, the marketing, and everything else that goes with it. And I don't really know why we do it all, to be fair.
No.
When you kind of weigh up the job we do, we probably do 10 jobs all in one day.
Yeah, so no wonder we go home absolutely.
Yeah,
I'm
knackered. And yes,
exhausted.
It's like, why are you speaking to me? I'm like, I think I'm done in, babe. I've got a word left.
Then they want a piece of you.
Yeah.
I love them dearly, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
But I'm like, can I just not
yeah,
talk
just give
for
me a
10
minute.
Minutes,
yeah,
please?
Yeah.
Because that's all I've done all day.
Yeah,
I don't want to talk.
Yeah. I just want to have a cup of tea and be left alone for 5
yeah,
minutes.
I've
yeah,
I'm just all talk time.
Yeah,
let me cook you tea.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk.
We just, yeah, exactly.
You know, and then you absorb everything
yeah,
else, don't you?
Yeah.
But it is, it's crazy what we have to do.
Yeah.
And picking up on what you said about the marketing, social media. I mean, God. Salons didn't have this years ago, did they? You had an advert in a magazine.
In the Yellow Pages.
In the Yellow Pages. Or it was a leaflet drop, or, you know, whatever. It wasn't the pressure of this.
And that is, like, again, a whole nother job in itself. And I think, there's just so much pressure on you, isn't there, to do all these things. And I think it's great because social media is really good and it's really good for your business, but I also think it can be really soul destroying at the same time.
Yeah.
Because you think, you know, I'm this established business, we've been going for all this time, we do all this amazing work, and you get somebody who's been doing it 5 minutes and they've got all these followers, and you think, what am I doing wrong?
Yeah.
You know, and it can be a little bit soul destroying.
Yeah, no, it really is. And I think you can have a look at other salons, and we do. We'd be lying if you said we didn't.
Yeah.
But we look at other salons and their content, and then it's the pressure, should I be doing that? Mm-hmm. Actually stay in your lane, perhaps, and do you.
Yeah.
Be authentic. I think that's what I've learned, myself, is stay in your lane.
Yeah.
Be your authentic salon. Don't try and keep up with what's it down the road. It doesn't work like that. You can't create content because somebody else has.
No.
So, but that also that's a lesson in itself, isn't it?
It is.
And I've been on so many courses for social media and when we should be posting, how many hashtags we should be putting in, and it's crazy.
Draining. It is draining.
But it changes weekly.
Yeah,
how are we supposed to keep up with that?
And I think the key is just being there. Like, as long as you're showing up on social media somewhere, people know you're there. And I think, you know, if you put too much pressure on it, it does send you crazy.
Yeah,
I mean,
it does.
I think I do the girl's head in, and you're like, if you film content for me today, and they're thinking, I'll piss off. Like, so it is being seen, but it is, and I understand why people do give up their businesses, because I think the pressure to do it all, it just is enough to send you mad.
Yeah, no, it is. It really
it
is.
Really
we
is.
Can't do it all, but we feel like we have to.
Mm.
So how do you balance being creative and business minded?
I think the creative side of doing the hair is my outlet of kind of when the business stuff gets on my nerves. And again, I feel like, do I really want to do what I come in and I do hair? And I love that bit. Like, you know, I do extensions. I had a client in today who had extensions. And when she walks out, she's like, oh my God, I love it, because her hair's like knackered on the one side. And it's just the seeing that difference in somebody is just so lush, because you think, you know, this is kind of what I do it for.
Your crown, isn't
it? It is.
And I think for all women, any woman that's listening to this will know, we've all had a time where we've hated our hair, had bad colour, had a bad cut, whatever. The growing that through is painful.
Oh, literally.
And it's something that you can't get away from.
No.
So I think you're right. I think that's the best part of it, isn't it? When you see somebody so happy, so grateful, you think, that's what this is all about. Definitely.
And when you don't love your hair, you just do. And I just think, you know, you see people walk out the salon and they're like flicking their, and you know they feel good. And I'm like, oh, do you know what? I love that. I love that they feel good.
So would you say that is like your most memorable part of a client's experience then? Or have you got anything in particular?
Oh, do you know what? There's
20 years of this to ask.
There is,
how do you nail it down? You can't, I know.
I don't know. I mean, I think there are so many. Like, I have got so many lush clients, and I've done weddings, I've done just so many things. I don't know, it's a really hard one to pick.
Have you ever had a really bad experience?
Have
you ever had anybody sort of kick off, or?
No, because I don't really put up with them. So I've asked a couple of people to leave.
Yeah, same, I've done that too.
Yeah, I've been like, because I know I'm not going to put my effort into somebody I'm never going to please. So if I know the vibes like that, I'm just like, oh, do you know what? It's probably best you just don't stay.
That's a learned behaviour thing though, isn't it, in our industry?
Yeah.
Because when you first start out, whereas you just know you ain't pleasing Karen all the time, are you?
And I think it's knowing your worth then, of I know what I can deliver. You've kind of sussed out the people you're never going to be enough for, or never deliver what they want. So the best thing to do is call it quits at the beginning and say, do you know what?
Yeah, I'm not necessarily the hairdresser for you,
exactly,
isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's actually all right.
Yeah.
I applaud those conversations.
Yeah.
And I just think start them young.
Start exactly. And I agree with that. And I always say to the girls in here, like, I would never ever want them to feel uncomfortable doing somebody's hair, or feel that, you know, somebody's sort of picking holes in what they're doing unjustifiably.
Yeah.
So I think that if if that's what somebody's energy is, like, that, we're just not that kind of salon, no. So they don't stick around anyway. But, yeah, bad experience, nothing really tragic. Anyway, not that I know of. No. So unless anyone out there knows anything.
I'm sure not. Too tragic. No, I've got this invisible sign at the top of my salon door that says, fit in or fuck off.
Fuck off, yeah, love that. You can get that for real.
Because I am that. It's a happy place, yeah. And I stand by that, yeah. And I want everybody to be comfortable, yeah. Clients and staff included.
Yeah.
You know, nobody deserves to be spoken to at term. And,
definitely.
And I think over the years it's been a part of putting up with, and now that's changing. The narrative on that is definitely changing, which is good, I think it's really good. So in terms of client culture and community, how important do you think it is then to build a community within the salon?
Everything, because if you haven't got that community with your clients, you haven't got a business. Our client retention is off the wall, and that's what keeps the business going, because those clients come back. And as I said, a lot of my clients I've done for years, all the girls clients that we do stay. So for me, building that environment in your salon that people want to be a part of, like when the salon's busy some days and there's somebody in every chair and the girls are chatting and everyone's like, oh, I love it in here. Like, it's such a lovely atmosphere. And, you know, people can come in and be like, oh, do you know what? I was really pissed off before I came in here today. And now I've had the best day ever, you know, and that across all ages. We had a woman the other day in her 70s come in and literally said that. She went, oh, I was in a really bad mood before I got here. She said, I've had a bloody lovely time in here today. And I think creating that is everything for your business. And I think if you're not creating that, and this is again where I believe that sort of self-employed working on your own environment isn't great, because you're not creating that. And I think the days where we get them, I come to work, I'm not really in the mood, I've had a shit day at home, whatever, I come in here and within 10 minutes it's like, oh, you know. So having that team around you and everything else lifts you out of that mood. So sometimes being that self-employed on your own business, probably you don't get that quite same energy going on.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think you've created a lovely atmosphere. Mm-hmm. That's you that creates that. You've created this lovely work environment for everybody, and you've picked the team that fit into that. And it's really nice that they've got a safe place and a happy place to come and work in, and that all oozes out of everybody. Do you think that that's your success, to keeping your team motivated and inspired in that way, by giving them sort of like space to talk, space to be free and be themselves?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it is, you know, I've got a very much salon culture, and how, you know, you've got to think, this is my business and my brand. So what I want to be perceived when people come in here is kind of like, this is as a salon what we portray. But you as individuals, I want you to come to work and feel like this is your business as much as mine. And I always say that to them. The better the salon does, the better we all do. This isn't just about me and me making a living out of it. Like, I want it for you. And I say to everybody who comes here, I would like whoever works for me to have gone, leave here in a better place than when they started, because I don't ever want somebody to come here and just use me as a passing through, oh, I worked there for a bit. And, you know, I'd like to be, or anybody who's worked here and left has left here with something more than what they started. Because I do try and put a lot into developing the girls with training, and even down to self-development training, because I believe everybody needs building up. And I think, you know, being able to create, particularly because I do employ a lot of young girls, I feel a responsibility to them that I know I wouldn't want my kids to go and work somewhere and just be like another person. Like, I feel I have, it's almost like having my own kids, of like nurturing them along the way. So,
see, this is what I love about you. You are the ultimate empath, and it really oozes out of here for sure. How you, and what I see through your social media, what you put into the girls and what they give you back is great. But I really noticed that with your salon, and how it is a family, isn't it, essentially?
I feel like,
and I do think you're very protective of them, and I think that's lovely. You're not getting that in all environments at all. And a lot of the bigger salons, and I can say this from experience, having worked in some of them, that they are really toxic, horrible places.
They can
full
be.
Of really bitchy, horrible people. And I'm not saying all,
but
my experience
true.
Of some have been that way.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
And it really does filter from above.
Yeah.
And if you've got somebody that's nurturing and empathetic, that's not happening.
No.
And in a all women environment sometimes
a lot,
with hormones and, you know,
massively.
We're all ready to kill at times,
exactly, we all piss each other off, because we're women working together. But I do, and I do, I love the team that I've got, and we've had lovely staff come and work for us. And, you know, it's, yeah, it's nice.
Also when people leave, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's not, learning to not take that personally.
Yeah.
And wishing them all the best, mm-hmm. and still being very, I mean, you know, I've had quite a few that have gone through the salon, yeah. and I'm still really friendly with yeah. them, you know, as in I've helped them, advised them, sent them, yeah. talked to them, you know, yeah. sometimes they'll still ring and say, what do you think, yeah. you know, yeah. and me to you, you yeah. know, that's, I think, a really invaluable part of what we do, is just yeah. being there to help each other.
Because, and I think that's, you know, what I think me and you have as salon owners, not many people, because I think salon owners always think, oh, if I get on with her and ask questions, like, is she going to steal my business and things like that? And I just think it's very rare that people actually sit down and are as open as we are in conversations about work yeah. and all the rest of it. And I think it's really sad, because I think you should be able to share this stuff, because yeah. we're no threat to one another.
No.
You know, I would like to think I could, you know, and I have opened my heart to you on lots of times about yeah. different things, and same. And I think it's a shame that people don't feel like they can do that, because
they get so protective over it, yeah. don't they? And like you say, there's, how many hairdressers are there in Gloucester? I mean, if we, God, it's ridiculous. Yeah. Like, there's so many of us. We're not, you know, we're not in competition no. with each other. No. We should be supporting each yeah. other. A salon in particular has just opened up over the road from me. Yeah. And every, like, you know, so many people have said, oh my God, salon mm. over the road, how do you feel about that? I'm like, wish them all the best. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they'll do really well. What, you're not bothered? No, I'm not bothered. No. Are you sure? You really? No, I'm not no. bothered, because there's 10 Sounds down the road. Right. Like, it is what it is. My people are my people. Yeah. You know, I've built a business over many years, exactly. like you. So you look after that, don't you?
Yeah,
you do look do. After that.
But you see so many salons now pop up. They're here for a year or two and then they go. We have stood the test of time over 20 years, though. Like, yeah. we've come through recessions and kids and everything life throws at you, and we're still here. So in my opinion, we're doing a better job than some of the bigger salons, because they're not even there anymore.
No.
So whatever we're doing it right.
Yeah.
And I think it is quite a sad thing when people feel like, whenever, oh yeah, I'm brilliant, I'm really busy. I'm like, oh, are you though? Because,
yeah.
you know, yeah. none of us are 24/7.
Next week, they're putting on an offer yeah. for 60%
exactly.
off.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and I just think it's...
Listen, we all get quiet times.
Exactly, of course we do.
You know? How many tired. Times have we spoken to each other and gone, God, it's really quiet.
Yeah,
it's
this week's
quiet.
Really bad. Yeah,
and you
you
go,
know?
Yeah, I am actually. Yeah. Oh, thank God, it's not
it's
just
not
me.
It's not just me, yeah.
So you get that, oh, great,
yeah, right,
okay,
exactly.
I feel better
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
Not because I want you to be quiet, but
yeah.
you... It's an industry.
Exactly.
Thing,
you
know,
I'm not doing everything wrong, and my clients haven't ran off to somebody
yeah,
else.
It's, exactly.
Yeah.
It's supporting each other and keeping mm-hmm. each other up. And I'm a big, you and I are
yeah.
very much like that. Big advocate for,
yeah.
you know, girl power
mm-hmm.
and all that.
It is, and it's true, because I do want to see everybody do well. I know how hard it is. And I
well,
think
you wouldn't have started, and this leads really nicely oh. into your salon mentoring,
mm-hmm.
if that wasn't the case.
Mm-hmm.
And you're mentoring me and other girls locally. So if that was something that you were scared of, you would never have started this. But
yeah.
like I said, that's leading in really nicely.
Yeah.
So tell us about Salon Mentor.
So what I kind of wanted this for was that I think when I started my salon, I had no clue what I was doing at all. And it showed, because, you know, I bloody did it all completely wrong. And I think if I could go back to the beginning with all the knowledge I've got now and open a salon today and have somebody say, yeah, do this, do that, no, don't do this, make sure you put money aside for that, make sure you set this up properly, you know, blah, 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 all the things that we have learned, I think my business would have done amazingly. And I think just not having that, because again, and even back then, 20, it was even more, you didn't tell, you know, nobody spoke to you because it was, oh, you know, another salon owner, bitch.
Yeah.
You know, so you just didn't. And I think that now, people are a little bit more open to coaching and things, because I think it's, you know, a growing thing that people are doing. But I just think I can come at it from an angle of, you know, I couldn't tell somebody who's making bloody 500 grand a year out of their salon or whatever how to run a business, because they're doing better than me. But for the people who are just starting up, or people who are smaller businesses or whatever, I can help you, because that, you know, I know how to get it started. And I think I want people to do well, because, you know, that, like we said earlier on, this is like a golden ticket to life. If you get it right, it can take you anywhere.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and I just think the mentoring for me, I do. I think that's my little motherly instinct in there.
Yeah,
to kind
it
of
is.
Like,
yeah,
take people under my wing.
You do, and you do it really well, and you did it to me. I mean, like you say, we've been in business very mm-hmm. similar amount of time. I made exactly the same mistakes
mm-hmm.
as you, and some more,
mm-hmm.
and some more on top of that, and
yeah.
some more on top of that,
mm-hmm.
with sprinkles on, you know? But you really, really helped me with the salon mentoring. It was massive. It really opened my eyes. I mean, I used to put on an offer, for example, oh, we'll take 20% off to fill some gaps this week. But did I have 20% off in the profit? You know, things like that. I hadn't really thought about it. I was just thinking money in the till, money in the till. But actually, it wasn't clever money in the till. If anything, it was costing me in the end. And you really, really gave me solid grounding and all the spreadsheets and everything that really helped me see it. With my raging ADHD brain that struggles massively with numbers and so on, a really easy, simple, understandable way to understand my business properly. And that, I think, is invaluable. I would say to anybody, small business, starting out, to see you, because it's so important.
It is, because I think a lot of people, again, I'm going back to the naivety about being a salon owner, people do now, younger girls, you know, going out and they're making a lot of money in a month because you can, but what they're not doing is thinking about the bigger picture of that money that you're making right now, and what are you doing with it? Are you investing it? Are you actually putting your business owner hat on? Are you just being a hairdresser, putting the money in your back pocket and, you know, living the dream for a few years? I think, you know, actually, when you open a salon or become a business owner, you've got to take that hat off of being the hairdresser and put the business owner hat on. And I think that's the thing people don't do. And understanding that you are making a lot of money, but what are you going to do with it? Because, again, coming back to that bit about being 47, I don't want to still be cutting hair in another 10, 20 years' time. But I know if I don't invest and do other things, that is exactly what I'm going to be doing. So I think, you know, people understanding that, yes, you can make a lot of money, but what are you going to do with that money? You know, are you going to invest it in something else so that you can make profit somewhere else? Or are you going to have a salon and a team so that you, it's not physically you doing it all the time? And it's just understanding that, yes, you can make a lot of money, but what are you going to do with it? And are you going to direct it properly?
Yeah, it's a great course that you're offering. I don't know anybody else that's offering it. I'm sure there are, but you are just so easy to get along with as well. And I feel like...
Not everyone would agree with that, Zoe.
But I find that... But what I found was I knew I could be completely honest. Mm-hmm. That information was going nowhere. It was secure with you. Mm-hmm. You weren't judgmental about the mistakes that I'd made. I felt like I could actually lay my cards on the table and go, right, Kat, this is what it looks like. Help me out.
Yeah.
And you did. Like, and it's transformed how I run my business. Oh. So I'm not just saying this to sell you. That is my personal experience, and it has transformed my business. So if anybody does or is interested in getting some coaching from you, where would they go? How would they find that?
So if you can come onto my Instagram, which is at the Salon Owner Mentor, and you can just drop me a message on there. And then I sort of like to do it a little bit more via chatting, because I think at this point I like to be one-on-one with people, because I've done a lot of coaching in the past where it's been you download a course and you kind of just are left to get on with it, and I don't believe that works, because I believe everybody's situation is so different. And I think, again, we are creative people, we're not numbers people. So if somebody gives me something and says, there you go, that's what, I'm like, I don't get it, and then I don't do it. So I want somebody to sit with me and talk me through it and understand. And a bit like you said, it's not just showing you what to do, is like almost a bit of, you know, coaching and therapy at the same time. Because sometimes you need somebody to just say, look, yeah, that's not right, but it's fine because we'll do it like this, and this would be what you need to do. So I like to do it a little bit more sort of one-to-one at this point for me, because I just feel I want to be connected and understand where I can help you. I don't just want to sell you something and be like, there you go, get on with that, because I don't believe you'll get the results.
No. And I think being one-to-one is private, so therefore you can be more honest, can't you?
100%.
And you can really lay your cards on the table and know that that information is safe with you, and you can then really help them. That in itself is, you know, money well spent in my eyes. So thank you for helping me with that. It really was fantastic. Changing it up a little bit. So this is a bit of a new introduction to the pod. So it's aptly named
Go on.
Cut or Keep.
Okay.
So I'm just going to, give you a word.
Yeah.
And then you can say cut or keep. You can say why or not why. It's up to you.
Cool.
So, mullet. Oh, cut or keep.
Fucking cut.
I'm so glad you said that. Got a mullet.
I mean, luckily he's handsome, so he could
probably he is very off, handsome,
but
yes,
the mullet is like, oh, what are you doing?
It's had a resurgence, hasn't it? I don't know why.
It's the bloody Jeremy Clarkson in there. Was that, what's the kid off there, Caleb? Didn't he?
Oh, did he do it?
I don't know.
How did he become trending? What the fuck
knows?
Oh my god.
I don't know.
Right, root tap slash balayage slash...
Oh, keep because it works, but it's a lot of work as well. I think the expectations around that are a lot, but yeah, keep.
Cap highlights.
Oh, fuck me, definitely. From a pain perspective.
I mean, that is definitely a thing in the past, but oh my god, it was a thing. 40-fold bleaching, cut or keep?
Well, I'd like to keep it, actually, because it gets you a good lift sometimes.
Yes,
from the same of hair integrity, a cut.
Yes, and a good mask. A good mask. Okay, so would you rather cut the same hairstyle all day for a month?
Yeah.
Or do 10 colour corrections a day for a week?
Oh, cut the same haircut, as long as it was a nice little easy bob or something.
Yeah, gorgeous.
No, colour corrections are a lot.
Right, so my favourite to finish us on is your dream client draft. So, name three celebrities that you'd love to have in your salon, whether that's to do their hair or just to get to know them. Like, who would be your top three?
Oh my god. I think Denise Van Outen, purely because her hair always looks really bad. That seems tight, doesn't it?
She has extensions,
and I think they always look really... All that one off... Dragon's Den, The Apprentice, Linda Plant, or whatever she is. She's got the thin blonde hair and she has extensions in. She's got shitloads of money, so I don't know why her hair looks like that.
Yeah.
I reckon, I think maybe Jade Holland Cooper. Not much of seen her. But just because I just would like to see what the fascination is.
Love her clothes though, not gonna lie.
Same. I just get fascinated. She always looks amazing. So yeah, I'd like to see what she's like in the actuals.
Yeah.
And then you can take it totally not off women, but maybe Freddie Flintoff, only because I watched his documentary.
Was it good?
Lush. I haven't finished it, I fell asleep as per. But he's still very handsome, but he's a very good looking guy, so I think I'd like him in here for a bit of eye candy.
Yeah.
Cheer the girls up in here.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I'd like, because I think he's really lovely. So not a man, because we don't do gents, but you know, you can come and make tea or something.
Exactly. Entertain the ladies.
Exactly.
That will please everybody.
That will please everybody.
Listen, thank you for taking your time for me again.
No, it's been a pleasure.
I love spending time with you.
Your pod is so good. I listened to your episodes this morning and like they're emotional this morning with your voice.
Oh, I know, with Hayley. That was rich. Yeah, that was sad. Yeah, we had a lot of tears that day.
Yeah,
but
they're really good.
She's just the most incredible people. That is what this is about. I'm not a professional at this. I'm not trying
to. You are. You're amazing. I think you'll be on This Morning next week.
Oh my god, Shaz!
Josie Gibson.
I've got the accent, so yeah, I'll be all right. But it is just about sharing brilliant people, and you are one of my brilliant people. Oh, I could not do this without having you on, so thanks so much.
No,
I really appreciate
thank you for asking me. I feel quite honoured.
No, I love it. I will put all your links to the Salon Mentor and your salon on the Salon in the City page.
Thank you.
So if people are looking for a great new hairdresser, they know where to go.
Oh,
thanks, Kat. Thank you so much.
Thank you.